Good morning, North America. Welcome to Church Talk TV, lively talk about life, church, and church life. I'm your co-host, Dr. Bill Tenney-Britton, and I'm joined, as usual, by my co-host, Dr. Chris Tenney-Britton, and we're broadcasting from our studio in Columbia, Missouri, the heartland of America. Say good morning, Chris.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Church Talk TV.
Chris and Bill Tenney-Britton here today to talk about the elephant in the room. Actually, we're talking about pews to zoos. And elephant works really well here because there's an elephant in the room that is in the room of almost every church that I've ever worked with.
Right, that's a key.
And
me too.
And I think that's the majority of churches.
Right.
There's a few very, very healthy churches that don't have that elephant.
Right.
But most churches have that elephant, and that is, why do the bullies in the church always seem to win?
Yeah, that's go ahead. Yeah, they really, really do. So we want you really to be taking in mind that what we're talking about today is your leadership team, right? You're going to have bullies in your congregation, and goodness knows they have no business being on your board. And I know a lot of you out there are getting ready for nominations. If you've got June starts, or you,
some churches start early, begin to look at for the fall
stuff. Right, exactly. So, yeah. Or you may have a hole somewhere in your leadership team, on your board, council,
vestry,
whatever
session,
you call it.
Whatever you call it.
So we're just going to call it your leadership. Leadership team, okay?
Or board.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Because you can't call them all things constantly. All right, anyways, we want to say that that's what we're talking about very distinctly.
Want to talk about the two distinct groups, right, just to begin
with. Your church, right.
You got your congregational members, or your congregation. People who, when you stand in the pulpit or on the platform, you look out, there's your congregation. And you got a number of people in there, different kinds of people. Now, they may be in the zoo, but they may not be. If they're not in leadership position, they're not in the zoo, they're in your congregation. And I divide them up. You know, I divide it very differently. But I divide them up. You got church members. And for me, a church member is a believer, someone who assents to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, however they define that.
Yeah.
They believe, but they may or may not behave like disciples. But by golly, their membership's on the line,
right.
And they generally, by and large, they sit in the pews, and that's what they do. Some of them get into leadership, some do other things, but the majority, they just kind of sit on their hands.
Sure.
Okay?
Now, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So
yeah.
Let me, because we hadn't talked about this before, but we also have guests and visitors, and we've defined us before.
Yeah,
so I want to say that as well, is you've got guests, visitors, you know, not yet members, but almost members.
Right. We're talking members and above.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
people that you might, because we are talking about leadership today.
Right.
So these are people who we might get tapped to be in leadership,
right? That's right.
Just members.
Might.
Okay.
But to be fair, if you're tapping the believers only, because everyone should be a believer. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, that's the place.
But I'm talking about the lower end of the echelon in the hierarchy of needs, so to speak. Okay, so the lowest level are congregation members. They believe. Sometimes they come on Christmas and Easter. That's all they believe.
And but they're members.
They're members. Okay.
Okay. Good.
So the next level is what I call disciples. They're disciples of Jesus Christ. They believe, and they behave like they believe.
Or they try. Right?
No, they're trying. They're working on it. They don't just come to church. They're engaged. They're doing adult spiritual formation stuff. They're trying to pray. They may not be faithful in that they're doing it every day. I don't know if that's a definition of faithfulness, but you know that they're really trying to order their life around Jesus Christ and the teachings that He offers.
Okay, I think this is my own. When we talk about conflict or whatever, and I hear that word behave, and we were talking about this just a few moments ago, that when I hear behave, I always see a finger wagging. I think it's that like dad that sits on my shoulder. You better behave. It's a synonym or synonym for that is act, that they act like.
Right.
Like disciples,
right. They behave like disciples.
They live their faith.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they're taking action. They're walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Talking the talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
We're not talking about behave. It's not this. It's not a down thing. It's just I'm talking about the way people behave.
Right.
You know, some people behave very well. Some people not so well.
Right.
So we're talking about disciples who are okay. So there's two more. There's leaders. And I'm talking about unpaid leaders. These are
unpaid staff.
Sometimes called unpaid staff. And the presumption in our world is that they're disciples to be leaders. The problem is, and if you have, you know, an elephant in the room with bullies, you have members
right.
who are in leadership positions.
Right.
They have no business in leadership positions.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
So your nominating committee, first question should be, whoever is coming forward for nomination, does this person act like a disciple of Jesus Christ? If they don't, they don't get to serve in leadership because they don't have the qualifications.
Okay, I have to add this, and then I want to add something else, right? So you mentioned leaders and staff. Hello. Not only should your leaders be disciples,
yeah,
right?
There yet.
You
got
to be. Oh, I thought we were just going to rip it in there.
There's a comma there in the outline. There's
okay,
a power between leaders
staff
and staff.
As well. Right.
Right.
Okay. So,
same deal.
Wait.
Your staff would better be disciples.
But you
too.
Can measure this stuff.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right.
And we've talked about this before.
We have episodes.
Fruit
you can go back.
Yeah.
Go back
and find
the
Spirit.
Yeah.
Just look at the fruit of the Spirit. And if they've got just not the fruit, but the rotty, fleshy stuff right before it, and if you're seeing more of that than you are of the fruit, eligible for leadership.
Or staff.
Or their staff.
Right.
I mean, good
right.
night.
Yeah.
How many? Oh,
my
word.
But you and I have known bully staff.
Oh,
staff
my
members
word.
That were the
yes,
bullies.
We have.
So
even
know,
the pastors.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
All levels of staff, I've
yeah.
seen some of that. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal, folks. Those are the pool of people right. that you have, well, the members and disciples, but that group of people, members, disciples, leaders, and staff, are those that you turn to for putting into leadership positions.
Right.
And so we want to talk about mostly those who are already in leadership positions, because the reality is, if you do it right, do it right, then you have covenants. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But covenants in place to say, this is how a disciple of Jesus Christ behaves, and this is how we expect our leaders to behave. And if they're not behaving this way, then we're not putting them in leadership.
Or
period.
We'll remove them from leadership.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's another.
But let's talk about now about the people who are actually on your board.
Right.
And that probably, if you have bullies in your congregation, let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
Those of you who have bullies in your congregation, which is almost everyone watching this episode, if you have bullies in your congregation, there's probably one. Probably.
Who comes to mind? I mean, really, that's
right.
like one
yeah,
of the things.
Right.
Who comes to mind when we say
yeah.
bully?
Write that down.
Right.
You've got that, or two or three, okay? But they may not all be bullies.
Right.
They
so
may be something else.
Yeah, we'll
talk
about.
But anyway, but you have, probably, you got a bully serving in leadership. And that's a real problem, because a bully in leadership will scuttle any good ministry plan. Anything
right.
that moves the church off of status quo,
right.
I don't like that, so we're not doing it
right.
over my dead body or whatever.
Right. Or we may, that's a terrorist, but we don't have the money. Oh, we can't. If
right.
you keep,
they will
if
scuttle
you've got
every
people,
time.
Right, who keep saying, no, we can't, or oh no, we won't. I mean, won't's a real extreme, but if you keep hearing can't or negatives, anything with a not in it, from somebody on your board, you may just have someone who shouldn't be on your board.
Which is not to say that everyone should be
right.
rubber stamping everything you do.
No,
okay?
Exactly.
Your proposals may they may suck. Sometimes they do, but it's not just we won't or can't. It's when they start behaving badly. It's totally okay, and you expect someone who's in finance is saying, I don't think we can
right.
afford
yes.
this.
Okay.
That's not a bully necessarily,
right.
you know. But someone who says, I don't think we can afford this, and if you do then, or, you know, I've been a member of the church, and so those are bullies and terrorists and guerrillas and controllers. Those are the next level.
Okay, what you really want when you've got somebody who says, I don't think we can or we can't, a finance person, what you really want on your board is someone say, but I think we could, or whatever.
Right.
Who's
they come
creative,
up with a solution.
Right?
Right?
They come up.
But
we want solution oriented.
Right, but that's the second thing. The reality is there are people who are not bullies who say, I'm not sure that's
right.
a good idea.
Exactly. Here
right.
are other indicators,
right.
key indicators.
Right.
They have parking lot meetings after the meetings. They mm-hmm. like to use their phones or their texting to
undermine or try to reverse the
yeah,
situation.
They're not in agreement. You don't have to like it, but you've got a party line before you leave a boardroom, and everyone has the party line. And anybody who is texting, calling, emailing, doing whatever when they leave the room that's not part of the party line.
Okay, I wanted to find party line because that's language that we use that you may never have heard, and we won't go to the origins of party line.
Yeah, don't.
But here's the deal. We're talking about team players, people who say when we make a decision, when the decision is made, we may go head to head in this decision making process.
We may not like the decision.
Okay, but in the end, when the decision is made, we all stand in agreement that we will support that decision from this point on. So when someone says, I hear that the board voted to put in pink shag carpet in the fellowship hall, and of course you personally thought that was like the dumbest idea since, you know, whatever, and your response is, you know, the reason that we decided to put pink shag carpet is because this, this, and this.
Oh, see, I wouldn't even go that far. I'd just say, yes, we did.
Well, but if you're good, but you never say, well, I think it's a dumb idea either.
Right, too, exactly. Whatever. That's the point.
You share, if you're going to share, yes, and this is why they've decided to do it. You're able to articulate the opposite side's viewpoint, because it may not be your viewpoint, it is the team viewpoint. It's the party line.
So I have a lot to say about that, and that's another episode. I mean, really, we've got to do an episode on that, how to do that. So
okay,
that's
you and I disagree.
We can disagree, and that's okay. But we'll disagree in that episode. But there are ways to finesse and move through that.
So let's talk about the zoo.
Okay.
When I think of this whole episode, I think of the Dr. Seuss book that was Put Me in the Zoo. And it came out of the Easy Readers. I think it was Eastman who wrote that, actually. But anyway, Put Me in the Zoo. You don't remember that book?
Not off the top of
my
head.
He had the dots, and he juggled the dots. He ended up in the circus, not the zoo. But here's the deal, folks. I think of your zoo. We're talking about, again, those who are in or on your board,
leadership
team, the decision makers. And you have a menagerie of people in there. And the ones we've been talking about mostly right now are the rats.
Five. Okay, yeah. And there are five that we're going to talk about today.
Six.
Yeah,
but one's not really a critter. One's us. But anyway. All right, so we got rats.
We have rats.
Rats.
My word.
And rats are your bullies, your terrorists, your gorillas, your controllers. We've done episodes on all of those.
Yep.
But these are the ones that are, I don't know, they don't behave like disciples. They bully is someone who throws their weight around. I've been here for 47 years, and you're not going to do that. My grandfather donated this land, and that's a bully. And, you know, a terrorist threatens you. If you do, then I will.
Gorillas, or if you don't, I will.
If you don't,
it goes both
I will.
Ways.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. And a gorilla is someone who surprises you. They just sort of jump out of the trees and pounce on you. They're opportunistic in negative ways.
Right. They're opportunists in a negative way. Right. Exactly. So that's when a secretary is leaving, even though it's because she's pregnant, or, you know, all kinds of different reasons. It can be very positive. A gorilla will use that to their advantage.
Right. And their advantage in getting their way.
Their way.
Really
exactly.
That's what rats do. They're going to get their way.
Right.
By hook or by crook. And there's controllers, those who just won't let go. This is my area of expertise, and by golly, that's just how it is, and I'm smarter than you are, and this is my...
They'll be very loud, very ugly, mean.
Right. So those are the rats.
Okay.
And every church, virtually every church, has rats.
Right.
And if the church doesn't have rats, they will get rats, because churches are places for broken, hurting people, and so people who are kind of ratty show up.
But here's the deal. I mean, when you're looking at conflict and how you overcome and work through and with conflict, the pieces and how we measure health is how do you handle those people? And again, that's another conversation, but it is to say that you've got these people lurking in the wings in many different respects. You have to have mechanisms on how to address that.
Right. And again, just to bring it home from what we said earlier, you shouldn't have any rats on your board. If you have rats on your board, you've got a problem with the way you're putting people in leadership, okay? That's the bottom line. If you have rats on your board, the problem is the way you have put people in leadership.
Right.
And you need to get them out of leadership, because a rat has no business in leadership. Okay, so that's the one. Then there's the ones that tend to sit with the rats.
Yes, those are your hyenas. You might call them the rat's minions. They help to do the rat's
And they're not
work.
Yellow and cute.
You know what? I read a book about hyenas. It was awful. They are awful, awful creatures.
Right. Yeah, they're just
they're
the minions so you see on TV.
Destructive. Oh, my word. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, I see what you were talking about. I was thinking about hyenas.
They
are the rat's minions. So they're the ones who are going to try to advocate for the bullies and talk up and how wonderful they are and how maligned or misunderstood they are.
They're the ones who sit in when you're having a conversation about XYZ decision. Mm-hmm. They're the ones having side conversations and making snide comments about, you know, that's never going to work.
Looking
it don't work
you,
here, you
right.
know.
Oh, yeah, it, and it, the it, head nods,
right,
everything.
Right, they're undermining... Yeah, yeah. whatever's really going on and standing in unity with right. the bully who is probably off base.
Right. You know? Well, one of the very conflicting churches that exhausted me many years ago that I pastored, his name was Bill S., and he would take whatever was going on in the board, and he was kind of quiet back there, right? So he wasn't one of your out-and-out bullies or terrorists.
He was a hyena.
He definitely was, because what he'd do is wear you out on that email. You know, he was going to keep sending emails, and so then you had to practice everything you knew about how to handle email, but he was going to wear you down on the bullies and terrorists. We had terrorists too. But he was gonna do everything he could to wear you down.
Right.
I don't think he knew he was doing it.
I don't know that a lot of people know they're doing it.
Yeah, that's
I think
true.
The bully probably does. But the hyenas don't. The hyenas tend to they may be salvageable. Maybe. Rats are very rarely salvageable. If you get a rat off your board or out of the church, you never put him back in leadership ever.
Right.
Ever, not while you're there.
Exactly.
You know, which doesn't mean they're not redeemable. It's just they're not redeemable back into leadership. Hyenas often just go with the wind,
right.
and they get caught up with personalities
yes.
and whatnot. So don't get me wrong. They're horribly destructive.
Yes.
All right? But they tend to be the also-souls. They don't seem to have a brain of their own. you know,
okay.
they follow the crowd. The crowd that they're hanging out with.
They're also very personable.
Absolutely.
They often are. And they're very loyal to their friends. And
right.
so that's often what happens. And watch over and over again that you get those bullies, you get those terrorists, they end up on nominating committees or they have sway on nominating committees and they want to get their friends on
right.
because you formed this pack.
Right.
Or what are the hyenas?
Are
they herds? A pack of rats?
I don't know.
No, they're not
right.
pack of rats. You know what they're called.
No, they are rat packs or racks. They're packs of
rats.
Oh,
a rat pack. Oh, I thought it was something else. Okay. No, I was thinking mice.
Yeah, mischief.
Mischief
of mice.
Okay. Well, I was thinking hyenas, but
right.
they're in packs too. Okay, go.
I don't know there. Okay,
all right,
hang on. Okay, so that's where the line draws between those who are trying to, if you will, undermine the mission of the church.
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to. They want to maintain the status quo in spite of what the church's mission has called them to.
Okay.
But then there are those, and remember the elephant in the room is why the bullies always seem to win. The next characters we're going to talk about are why the bullies always seem to win. Because you may only have one rat on your board, and you may only have two or three hyenas on a board of 12. But those three, or two, or sometimes just one, is enough to undo the mission of the church because of most of the rest of your board members. And so we're going to talk about them, the rest of the zoo, if you will.
Okay, but I need to say this. You just mentioned it. We have to make it clear. Your church has to have a mission and a vision and have values. And we're going to say more about
are.
That. You know, know
they
what
have
the
values.
Are. Right. I don't know.
Values,
know,
they have status
wonder,
quo.
Yeah.
Don't change nothing.
Yeah, okay.
And I like
so
what I like.
We are going to do that. Say more about that. But you've got to
have
a mission.
We have all sorts of episodes about
yeah,
that.
When we
right.
talk about, you know, that they're undermining the mission or the vision, you have to remember this isn't about, I mean, they try to make it about you as leader or your about your pastor or you, whatever that may be. They're going to try and make it, but bottom line, it's about the mission
right.
of the church.
Right.
Is that what you're trying to get across? And you can't be just taking it a little personally, because then you're going to find yourself being maybe a possum, which
right.
is our third
right.
category,
third
right, is a possum. And possums, you know, I remember, I don't think, know that I saw many possums when I was growing up. We grew up in a suburb, but I remember this. I had to have been really young, and I remember my mom screaming, running inside, picking up the phone, and calling my husband and going, Bill, there's an animal!
Her husband, not your husband.
Oh, her husband, yeah, my mom's
right.
husband.
Right.
Bill! His name was
your
Bill,
dad.
Too. My dad, yeah.
There we are.
Bill, there's something in the window. Well, he's like, what is it? And so she's like, oh no. So she goes back and she goes and gets my godmother. They go and it's a possum. But what's the possum doing? He's like, well, is it dead? I think it's dead. My godmother says, no, it's not dead, but it was playing dead. That's what we get on so many, in so many of our board members are these possums who just play dead.
Okay, so the first sign of conflict comes up. You know, and so the we're going to talk about follow up with with visitors. We're going to talk about getting contact information and following up. And we're talking about that. And the rats going, no, we've got to do that. We've always done it, whatever. And the possums, mostly they lower their heads and they look at their shoes.
Yep.
They want to see if their shoes are tied or whether they slipped off or whether their socks match or something.
Yep.
But they're not saying a word. They're playing dead. And when a vote comes, if they vote, they'll vote how they think, you know, the loudest was.
Yes. Whatever, whoever was loudest, right. Whichever they think is the majority, always,
right?
Right? That's right. Where they're going to go.
Right, exactly. So possums play dead. And when your church members, your church leaders play dead, that means that the bottom line is the good of the church never wins out, ever. We never move forward because when we're playing dead, we're not being effective. So that's right. The first one.
Right.
The second one is the ostriches. And I think this is your favorite.
I love this one.
Ostriches are the ones, of course, that they stick their head in the sand.
Yep.
And they hope that everything is going to be all right. That, you know, if we just pretend there's no conflict will go away, right? If we just leave it alone, and why can't everyone just get together?
They have
get
wings.
Along together?
Wait, you know? They have wings. They ring their wings.
Okay, whatever. You know, so they just, why can't we all just get along?
Right.
And so they're in some ways worse than possums because they may be aware of what's going on, but they're like, I'm not, la, 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 even though they're hearing it.
Right.
And sometimes they add to the hyenas because they don't like the tension in the air.
Right.
Can't we just get along? Come on, people. You know.
Right.
And
how many times have we heard that?
Oh, I mean, all the time.
Oh my gosh, hundreds of times.
Right. And when the ostriches are sticking their heads in the sand and la 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 and whatever, there's no reasoning with them, right. And they almost always end up aligned with the hyenas and the rats.
Okay. All right.
Well,
are you ready for
anyway.
Me to jump in here?
Yeah, go for
okay,
it.
Okay, so I do
all
have
right.
to jump in
right,
here because yeah. what I have found over and over again are your possums and ostriches tend to be, you call it conflict averse.
Right.
I say a lot of them suffer with a form of PTSD. Likely they were.
I'm not disagreeing.
Okay.
I was saying, yeah.
Okay.
I was like,
oh,
yeah.
All right. I thought you were going, not really.
No,
yeah.
No,
okay.
I'm doing this. I'm doing,
oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. But possibly, I mean, they were bullied. Many of them were bullied
absolutely.
When they were younger.
Or have been bullied since they've been in the church.
My word. Yes, indeed. Yes, 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 and yes. So just know some of our people come in and that makes them all the more conflict averse. And that's just who they are and how they are. And those are the people that you sometimes have to help off the board. And one of the reasons, are we ready to move on to pheasants?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the reasons that you want to help them do that is to help keep them from becoming another character in the zoo, and that is the pheasant.
Pheasants, there's two kinds of pheasants on your board. And here's the deal, neither of these stay on your board. A pheasant is someone
right.
either who's very innocent, and they may be both of these, by the way. They're an innocent. They don't understand that whenever three or more are gathered together, you have politics. Never mind that God's there. Where two or more are gathered, Jesus is there. Where three or more are gathered, you have politics. Because two are trying to win over the one, et cetera. And I mean, that's just a reality. Because church has politics, whether we like it or not. You know, we have a conflict. Conflict isn't bad, folks. Conflict means you want vanilla ice cream, I want chocolate ice cream. We can only afford once, and Neapolitan's not on the menu. So what do we do? Well, we have to negotiate and figure out what we're going to do. Okay, I'll do chocolate this time, you do vanilla next time, or whatever. That's conflict, and if it's handled well, if we all behave ourselves like disciples of Jesus Christ, then it's not a problem. But a pheasant, the innocents, are the ones who don't realize that there's politics involved, doesn't realize there's bullies, doesn't realize that maybe what's behind closed doors probably ought to stay behind closed doors, and someone somehow thought, well, they would be good on the board.
Right.
And they become deeply wounded when they realize that people are people and that broken people are on the board, that they're not all on the pedestal of disciples of Jesus Christ and all loving and all the rest. And it wounds them deeply.
Well, And it makes a lot of them mad.
Yes.
That why do we have that person as our board chair or those people, whatever, right? Or I mean, I've heard this too many times. Right. Why is that our board chair when, you know, with that? I just remember having, I called them my babies. I had done so many baptisms in this church I'd pastored, and we were raising up disciples and just getting into it was a congregational meeting, and this ugly fight broke out. And they said, one of the babies, my baby said, "Oh my gosh, I thought this was the church." So right. Yeah, there is this pain, and when you have these rats and hyenas doing their thing,
impossible to just doing their thing. Yeah, they don't understand why others aren't stepping up.
You get
up.
The innocence, right. And then you also
what happens with the innocence when they hurt like that? They quit. They tend to leave the board. They tend to leave the church.
And tend to
and
leave.
That's what a pheasant
tend
does.
To leave the faith. I'm sorry, but that happens. Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm not always it happens. It happens too often. It happens once or too often.
That's right.
But they're called pheasants because I don't know if you've ever hunted pheasants or seen them. They flush. And they're gone. And that's so the innocence. The other group is the
intelligence. And we talk about brain drain.
That's NTS, by the way, not CE.
Intelligence. Those with intelligence. But those are the ones that take their brain. They're like, this is crazy stuff. This is conflict. I don't have time for this stuff. And they just leave. And my favorite, and I'll try to tell it fast. I mean, my favorite example is your dad. And his mom and his dad, or stepmom, dad, Mom Dolores and dad, they were very faithful in churches and always had been. And they were in this one particular church. He was asked to be the board chair. He said yes. Well, basically, he was asked because there was all this crap that was going on. Of which he was unaware. And he got in there, and they talked about how the phone would start ringing on like Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. It would go to Tuesday. It would pick back up on Friday and Saturday, take him into Sunday. And mom just said, like, wow, this is not church and we can't do it. And they were both very, very intelligent.
And wise.
And very wise. And they finally said, like, one Saturday night, I think. Yeah, it was like, we're done. And they were. They left the church. They left a huge void in not just that board, but in that congregation. And it took them a while to finally settle in on a congregation. And they swore they would never be in leadership again.
Because and so the intelligence, they're the ones who are, they're intelligent. They'll stay longer than the pheasants try and see if things will come up. But eventually they go, this is not going to change. It. And they quit. And the problem is that anyone with half of a brain, if they're in your board and you got a rat and the church doesn't handle the rats,
right.
They're going to leave.
That's right.
That's the bottom line. Okay, right. So I want to move past the menagerie to talk about, there are some, I hope, on your board that we call ambassadors of Christ.
Hopefully you.
Okay, yeah, hopefully you. They're disciples of Jesus Christ and they serve as ambassadors of Christ. Now, an ambassador, you know, is representative. They will be confrontive. In a good Christian way. Jesus was pretty clear, you know, three strikes, you're out. You know, warn them once, warn them twice, throw them out. Oh, wait a minute, that's Titus. Paul said that. But Matthew 18 does the same thing, just in more words.
Look at our episodes on conflict.
That's right. So the bottom line is that an ambassador of Christ, they say this is what's right. And we need to step up and we need to vote for what's right. And that and they don't necessarily go head to head with the bully, but they're able to counterbalance the conversation. They stand up for what is good and right and missional and visional for the church. But they also know they may not win. But they don't quit just because they don't win. They know that it's a longer road. They're not
right. It's a war, not a battle.
Right, exactly right. And so they hang in there. And of course, the goal, of course, is that when your nominating committee gets together this year, that you only put ambassadors of Jesus in there. Now, some of your possums and ostriches and pheasants can be raised up as ambassadors,
right?
But it takes training. It takes training, and that first part of training is adopting leadership covenants.
Yes, and part of that training also is paving the road. You've got to train them. You've got to pave the road for them, which means getting rid of those bullies and rats.
That's
okay.
Right.
So that being said, yes, you've got to adopt your leadership covenants. We've got episodes on that. We've talked about them.
And there's a download that you can get in the description of this episode. There's on how to do their leadership templates covenant templates. You can grab it. You can put them into place. And the reality is, folks, it's kind of we're out of time.
Oh my gosh. gosh.
So there's so much to say about this, but hey, at least you know now you can identify with the elephant in the room,
yes,
along with the rest of your zoo. Have a great week. We'll see you later.
Hey, yeah, have a great week. And wait a minute, I forgot I wanted to say to them, figure out what kind of animal you are and your place in the menagerie.
There we are.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.